and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. The tense situation between Israel and Hamas is growing more tense by the minute. Israel continues to amass troops at the Gaza border, readying a ground invasion following last week's Hamas attack against Israel. And now comes concerns that Iran, through the terror group Hezbollah in Lebanon, is seeking to widen the war. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was asked if that's why the U.S. is moving a second aircraft carrier group into the region.
The threat yesterday was real. The threat today is real. There is a risk of an escalation of this conflict, the opening of a second front in the north, and of course of Iran's involvement. That is a risk, and that's a risk that we have been mindful of since the start. It's why the president moved so rapidly and decisively to get an aircraft carrier into the eastern Mediterranean, to get aircraft into the Gulf, because he wants to send a very clear message of deterrence to any state or any actor that would seek to exploit this situation.
Sullivan's entire interview will be on CBS's Face the Nation. The BBC's Anna Foster is along the border between Lebanon and Israel, where rocket fire continues.
The question now is how much Hezbollah will actually decide to attack Israel, really to sort of make a show of solidarity with Hamas. And that is why these last few days we've seen these exchanges of fire across the border.
CBS's Ian Lee is in Israel.
There are still sirens sounding here in Tel Aviv, more than a week after Hamas launched its surprise attack. Shell-shocked residents are awaiting what's next.
And in Gaza, civilians are facing a frightful situation.
Palestinians are scrambling to leave Gaza. The United Nations says almost a million residents have been displaced since the war started, with many following Israel's warning to flee.
The promised Israeli ground invasion could start at any time. A powerful 6.3 magnitude earthquake has struck western Afghanistan just over a week after strong quakes and aftershocks killed thousands of people and flattened entire villages. An Olympic champion is said to be doing much better, but still hospitalized. CBS's Matt Piper has this update.
Mary Lou Retton is said to be making remarkable progress in her battle with a rare form of pneumonia. So says her daughter McKenna, who alerted the world earlier in the week that her mom was fighting for her life and was asking for donations since she said Retton did not have health insurance. Now she says her mom's breathing is becoming stronger and that her path to recovery is steadily progressing. The donation page online had asked for $50,000. It's now at more than $400,000 in donations. Matt Piper, CBS News.
And this is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Imagine, it's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with highs around 56. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 40. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs level off around 55. Upper 50s Tuesday, turning warmer Wednesday with highs in the low 60s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation,
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Hauling for Wolves. Hauling for Wolves. Protecting wolves for future generations. Okay, Dr. Stanley. Hey, welcome. Yeah, exactly. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio, and we're with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic. Boy, I'm just getting and thank you for stepping in early and also helping me with that interview. So what I would like to do, Dr. Stately, is just to ask you what you'd like to talk about in this last segment.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that last issue is a really important one. We don't often think very often about how critical environmental degradation is within the context of health, right? How much impact it has on our physical health, our emotional, mental well-being, spiritual well-being, those kinds of things. It is, you know, it's a very big issue for sure. Everybody, you know, there isn't, I think this is always a challenge, that, you know, there isn't anybody that really wants to have a railroad, running through their backyard, right? Our country, our people, our society as Americans, we all suffer from, you know, serious disorder called not in my backyard kind of syndrome, where, you know, we don't want anything really that's going to impact the community or the planet in any way, shape or form running through our particular backyard. And I think one of the things that I always think about within that context is that's probably true of everybody, right? But I think one of the things that we can all pretty much be certain of is that the majority of people that suffer the deleterious outcomes in those kinds of conversations are always with disenfranchised communities and disempowered communities, the ones that don't have a tremendous amount of wealth, right? The ones that don't have a lot of political clout, the ones that aren't, you know, the executive officers of, stockholders of large billion-dollar corporations that that can swing, you know, their might and to their benefit, and usually to the not so great benefit of disenfranchised communities like tribal communities. That's been a fight that's been going on for decades. One of the things I would hope that people would be willing to listen to is that, you know, that merger isn't particularly beneficial or helpful to anyone really living in Minnesota. The Mississippi runs through the entire state, right? Yeah. And supports so much of its entire state infrastructure, all of the, you know, all the tributaries that are linked to the Mississippi River would be threatened, and other sources of groundwater. So I think those are like important things for everyone to think about, you know, not just the indigenous people of the state, but also the entire populace. But, you know, these fights have been going on forever, right?
Water is life, and I'll tell you, I walk by the Mississippi every day, Dr. Stately, and the river is low, and we've been in the second year of our drought, so it's so precarious when it comes to water. And, you know, you read reports that California wants to divert water from the Mississippi, and, you know, how much is that going to cost with pipelines and all, you know, it's just crazy stuff.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Like, they already dried up the Colorado River. Now they want to dry up the Mississippi. Don't get me wrong. I lived in California for like 20 years. I really love, there's a lot I love about California, but, you know, they have a big, huge ocean right next to them. They can like start, you know, desalinating water from there. I mean, that's what they should be investing in.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
or maybe not have huge lawns and lots of it. And not everybody needs to have a pool in their backyard. You know, I grew up for like 40 years of my life without a pool. I was I did just fine.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I agree. It's crazy. And I think just amplifying in these discussions with people, you know, about what's happening in Indian country, because what's going to happen in Indian country is going to happen to you. And I think that's what you alluded to when it comes to everybody needs to keep their eyes on the prize. I mean, just what, 2 years ago, they put water on the stock market. I mean, that's kind of flag right there.
Yeah. You know what I always tell people? Like, I have, I've been in some of these conversations. In fact, I just had this conversation yesterday. I mean, I'm sure you remember, like, a couple of months ago, or maybe it was about a little over a month ago, we had some people on who were talking about the Friends of Lake Hiawatha thing issue.
Right.
And why it's important to sort of like preserve Lake Hiawatha and even rewild it, because, you know, it's such a precious asset to not just the tribal people or the native people that live in South Minneapolis, but the entire community. And whenever I have the chance, I tell people, like, you know, if native people are speaking up and we're saying, like, this environmental issue needs to be addressed because it's going to harm native people in this way, and these things, we're usually sounding the alarms and the voice of reason on critical things that are going to impact not just us, but people all over the world, right? So Native people are who are usually the ones stepping into these spaces and places, talking about it. And whenever people ask me, like, well, why should we be concerned about that? I say, well, you know what? If indigenous people are bringing an issue to the attention of, you know, not just our community, but our state, our region, our nation, it's usually something that's going to impact the entire planet at some point in time, or the rest of the, at least the rest of the United States. You probably should pay attention. What benefits us is going to benefit most people.
Well, Bob Blake always talks about we're the last, you know, the front lines of saving our environment, and that includes water and everything. We are here for that reason, and that's part of us being Native and being here for 10,000 years.
Right. And I think one of the things that I'm always trying to impress upon people is that, you know, our health and our well-being, physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, of course, as well, our health is tied to the health of the planet, right? If we don't take good care of the earth, there will be nothing to take care of us, really, when we need it the most, right? When we start to pollute our water, pollute our air, pollute the land, you know, we're going to see, you know, all kinds of critical things happen that are going to threaten our own physical and emotional and mental well-being. We see that every day. When we start to sort of like pollute the things around us and not take care of the earth and the air, that has real world implications for us as human beings, right? And we got to think about those things.
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, and that all goes, I think what I talked about a little bit earlier, and I think when you jumped in, Dr. Stately, we were talking about is vote like your future depends on it. And, you know, you have young ones and my, you know, and we need to preserve for the next seven generations. And when we talk about the next seven generations, we are really talking about the next seven generations. And that's
And remembering that we are the embodiment of the seventh generation, right? We're here because seven generations ago, someone was making decisions so that we would have a space and place to inhabit on this earth. And we have the responsibility to do the same thing.
Exactly. Pini Gigi, thank you so much. And hey, thanks for co-hosting Native Roots Radio. You didn't know you were going to do that, but I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you do for the community. And you know, let's do this again tomorrow. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Around the corner,
around the country,
or around the world, take WFHR with you wherever you go.
Take us to work, on the boat, or in the stand this hunting season.
Download the Civic Media app and make WFHR your co-pilot all day, every day. And never miss another news update, Badger game, or serious comedy to start your day.
WFHR is here for our community by keeping you informed and entertained. So take us with you and never miss a beat.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late-night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta-potty. Don't let the thought of a porta-potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta-potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta-coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta-potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta-potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by, what is it brought to by? Brought to you by, Ogama?
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, that's a new sponsor. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we are here with Michael Spears, actor, and he's been in many things here. And we're going to talk a little bit about his career and also this new movie, The Year of the Dog. Michael, thank you so much for coming on to Native Roots Radio.
Pilama, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking with you about all of the wonderful things in movies.
Right on, right on. And, you know, we've had quite a few people, and I don't know if you know Bobby Wilson, but Bobby Wilson was a student of mine in Reservation Dogs, and we've had quite a few Reservation Dog actors on the show in the last 2 years, and we're really excited to throw you in that mix as a Reservation Dog alumni. Really, really, I just want to touch base on that for a second. That show for me has, and I know all over Indian country because I see it on Facebook, people are really plugging in, and I love it because it's for mainstream, but it also has a lot of good things for us natives to like shake our head and go, oh yeah, yes. And so how was that experience? You played pretty heavy duty part in this.
Yeah, that experience is unique for me in that, you know, you walk on set and it's all native created, you know, all the showrunners and actors and crew and cast, everyone's native, and you know, walking onto a set like that is an experience in itself. You know, I've never had the opportunity to be on a set such as Reservation Dogs yet, and looking forward to next season. I hear we just got picked up again for another season. I want to shout out to Sterling and Bobby and thank all the boys on set. Hopefully everything's going good with everyone. And man, it's the show's really picked up a lot of momentum and created a lot of visibility for Indian people all across America and the world now.
Yeah, a friend of mine who works for CBS television on 48, he's a producer for 48 Hours, called me late last night, and he's diving deep into the show and just couldn't believe it. And he was excited, and he was only on season one, but you know, there's great more to come on that. Just really excited that, I don't know if it seems like since Standing Rock, a lot of good things have happened for us natives. And you know, I know we started our show during Standing Rock, and with the protesting of the pipeline, and a lot of good things from authors to movies, you know, Prey and to Reservation Dogs and your upcoming movie, The Year of the Dog.
Oh, I'm very appreciative of the visibility, you know, that we've gained through the political activism stage. You know, we have a lot more stories. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I want to give shout outs to all the up and coming artists and filmmakers and musicians and all the other Indigenous people that are, you know, on the come up, because we have so many more stories to tell. So each one of us has a story. Everyone has everyone's got dreams and hopes. And me as a little boy from growing up on the Lower Brule Reservation to where I am now, you know, I'm back on the reservation now. I'm a student at Sinte Gleshka University, and that's where I'm coming at you live from right now, is Mission, South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, you know, just balancing that and hoping for the best for all the people here. We, as a Native acting community, you know, we're pretty small, actually. You know, everybody knows everybody almost. We all try out for the same parts. I've been fortunate enough to be in the game for I won't date myself, but quite some time, as when from Otter and Dances with Wolves most recently Sitting Bull and Runs His Horse in Yellowstone.
Is that what you're shooting now?
Yeah, I just came off a 2-part docudrama for the History Channel. I was fortunate enough to land the lead in the docudrama, a 2-part series being produced by the History Channel, highlighting Sitting Bull's life.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit. I have a little blurb here. You know, The Year of the Dog is about two strays, mad and alcoholic, struggling to maintain sobriety, and a rescue dog with unusual athletic gift. Spears plays Fred, Matt's big book thumping sponsor. Hey, that stop right there. People on the radio know that I've been sober for a few years, and I love that term, big book thumper. How did you prepare for the role?
Well, you know, that role I drew from a lot of personal experience. You know, the preparation, I guess, was you know, being able to be in a space where I felt safe enough to let Fred out and be vulnerable as well, because, you know, he's not a perfect person either. So right. Just personal experience and you know, my family members and, you know, I know a lot of us as natives have been touched by alcohol and the ism of it, you know, not only the addiction, but, you know, the things that come along with mental health awareness and illness and all of that.
Well, you know, I always say it's really, you know, whenever I see our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota, I always let her know. It's like, I really appreciate you. I used to be a high school teacher and had an all-native homeroom. And what I would always tell her is I appreciate you being lieutenant governor because my kids are able to see someone that looks like them in this role. And I feel the same way about this, that there's many ways to recover and there's many ways to go down the red road and to be able to have our people see somebody, you know, representing that portion of our culture, or not so much culture, but a portion of our people. You know, some people do it the red road, some go to AA, but there is recovery out there. And so it's important for us. And I want to say a big peeny geegee to you, Michael, for playing that role.
Piyama. You know, I always, you know, tip my hat to those that are brave enough to willing to tell their stories and be honest about it, like Rob, and you're the dog here. He puts himself out there and so it gives a pretty emotional, raw performance. And my character, you know, at the time was going through a lot personally. You know, I just lost both of my grandmothers and my mother shortly after this production, and some of that's gonna come across on screen if you guys get a chance to watch the movie. But definitely want to give shout outs to Rob and the rest of the team on a success. You know, we're just some Montana boys and girls that got together and made a movie.
Well, your role has been convincing enough that the film's producer have recently made a nomination submission on your behalf. So that's huge. That's huge. That doesn't just happen. And I appreciate your humility. And I just kind of just keep saying that how important that is for our people to see people out there in a good way. And you're doing that, Michael. You know, with the, you know, you being a young person starting out in movies and now older, there's two rules always, is you don't want to work with young people in film and you don't want to work with animals. So how was it working with the dog?
It was awesome. You know, I got to work with a few animals in some productions, but this was probably the most hands-on I've got to be with a canine. There was two puppies on this show, a stunt puppy and the actor. So it was, you know, Rob got a lot more hands-on than I did, but we had some good fun times in pulling and creating that space where we could just have fun and catch something on camera.
Hey, I'm here with Michael Spears, and we're talking about The Year of the Dog and also other movies Michael's in. Michael, do you have time for another quick segment?
I sure do.
That's awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, we're still here. Ogama, how the heck am I doing there? I missed you on that interview.
You know, I ran into technical trouble for this interview, so I wasn't able to join. And, you know, I'm sad I missed it, but I'm glad I'm getting to listen to it all the way through again now. And, you know, it's really amazing, these actors. You know, I think a lot of people think of people who are in Hollywood as maybe like a non-job or kind of like politicians, people who aren't like really real. And I always appreciate seeing these actors in this light.
And you said earlier, or while we were chatting during the interview, because it was pre-recorded, that he went through a lot of loss in that last movie. So I can't help, like he said, but to bring it in. Hey, we got part two coming up here with the interview here with this great interview, I should say. No, I'm just kidding. This subpar interview from me with Michael Spears, a Lakota actor. We'll be right back after this short break. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with highs around 56. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 40. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs level off around 55. Upper 50s Tuesday, turning warmer Wednesday with highs in the low 60s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I'm here with Michael Spears, and we're talking about his acting career, but also the Year of the Dog. Michael, Pinigigi for being back on here. This is an important conversation, and one of the things I'd like to ask you about your role is how did that come about? So what, you know, you tried out for the movie, they got the part, and then how did it turn into, I don't know, putting your stamp on this character?
Well, after the, you know, the audition screen test process, I was given some character freedoms, and I developed Fred, just kind of put a little bit of myself into him. Originally, he wasn't necessarily written as being an Indigenous or Native character. And in exploring that, I went ahead and put a little of myself into the character, and we made a few character decisions in regards to who and where Fred comes from. And we turned Fred into a Lakota. And, you know, of course, in the film, he's a sponsor and also touches base on some racial stereotypes in the film in regards to what Rob's character is wearing, notably the Atlanta Braves hat and a lot of the mascot issue.
Yeah. That's a very subtle an issue, been out there for a long time. I think, you know, I'm here in the Twin Cities, and I think the murder of George Floyd really pushed the Washington football team to change their name, and there's more work to be done. So bringing that in the forefront is a good thing in a good way, Michael. We really appreciate that, and that's very authentic.
Yeah, the scene, it happened pretty organically, you know, and I asked him in real time, you know, where and why are you wearing that hat, you know? And so we had some good conversations, and I was given an opportunity to write the scene and rewrite. And so him and I rewrote the scene, and you'll see it play out in the film. You know, his character eventually takes the hat off and comes to an understanding that he's bringing a racial stereotype to life.
Yeah. I think, again, the media, whether it's a movie or a TV show or a radio show, we have a lot of people out there that are allies, whether they're white allies, BIPOC allies. And it's good to bring these things up and educate. I think that's part of our job, isn't it, Michael?
Definitely. As storytellers and just human beings, you know, and keeping that integrity and the truth to who we are as a people, I think is important in the telling and retelling of our stories, you know, especially for coming from a non-Native perspective or point of view. And, you know, that's where another, you know, if we're getting down to brass tacks, I'd say, you know, we're making steps towards the right direction, but we do have a long way to go. And I appreciate all the allies out there, you know, all of the support that we've had, and not only just this film, but as a people, as a whole, as an Indigenous community here, in unity being represented through media, music, radio. You know, I want to say Pilama to you for having shows and given venues, spaces available for Natives to come and have a voice and to get out there on these interwebs, these spider webs of communication.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's something that
that needs to be done. And I really someday hope to hand this down to a young one. And I, by saying that too, I want to just bring this up. I'm 61 years old, and our generation is kind of lost. I mean, we became in the forefront with the American Indian movement and all these things. You know, I remember people in high school pretending they were Italian or something else before it was proud to be a native out there. And so it's exciting to see a younger person like you, and then the younger people out there in the community really stepping it up, speaking their language, doing things that we're afraid of or we lost because of boarding school. So I want to say a big pinigigi to you.
Well, thank you for the aiki or the recognition. But you know, I give all the recognition to my mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas who raised me in a good way. Want to continue to support all of the indigenous artists out there. You know, I have four children as well, and I'm a student, so I'm always a proponent of higher education and learning. My mother was a survivor of residential schooling, and definitely my father, the late Patrick Spears, he was and still is my hero, as well as my mother. You know, she worked 36 years in the Indian Health Service and opened up hospitals all throughout Indian country. If it weren't for those that have given their time and effort, I wouldn't even be able to be here making movies either. So I want to say thank you to those who laid the tracks for me that I could be in the movies. You know, I'm just a boy from the reservation too. I grew up in Lower Brule and moved off the reservation after in the fifth and sixth grade. And I grew up in Pierre, and then I moved to Aberdeen, South Dakota, and was fortunate enough to make a film or two a year. And I'm still in the learning process now, higher education, environmental sciences and Lakota studies. I'm a big proponent of renewable, sustainable energies, and also just telling the truth, letting the little kids and all of them know that it's okay. It's cool to question your teachers, you're the higher ups out there, and not be part of the status quo. You know, we have to continually work to stay woke and keep the environment and the communities around us accountable for their actions as well. You know, being Native comes with the responsibility nowadays as far as keeping the integrity and the truth alive. You know, having to wear several hats in now productions and different things is something that we're being leaned upon more and more in not only the acting communities, but everywhere.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Good words there. And it is good to definitely recognize our elders in a good way like that. I appreciate that. And there are many people that are still doing it out there. And I think the young ones are really leading the way, but we really do and did need our teachings. So that's a great point, Michael. I'm here with Michael Spears, actor in The Year of the Dog, a movie coming out here real soon. And he's an actor. He's been doing it for, I won't say how many years because I got the calculator out and figured it out, but also was on a Reservation Dogs and played a pivotal role of, if you've been watching, the young boy that committed suicide, he played Danny's father. And So we talked a little bit, and I want to talk to you about what is a good thing for our Native young ones listening to this to get into the business, and what do they need to know? And I think one of the things we talked about with our last actor friend, he talked about being on time and doing it in a good way. And there is no Indian time. We want to change that to being on time. Oh, wow.
Well, one thing that I guess I've taken away from the industry, being in it as long as I have, you know, we're getting more and more visible as far as our storytellers, our directors and producers and people that have that business mindset, because ultimately, you know, this business is a business, and, you know, it's a paradigm that I've chosen to build my career in. It definitely has its challenges and setbacks at times, but for kids nowadays to become an actor, model, agent, whoever, you know, there's every job imaginable in the movies. You know, you don't have to be an actor. You can be an engineer. You can be a photographer, you know, the business end, the line producing, the all of that. So, you know, I encourage kids to find what they love, you know, and it's not always necessarily going to be an actor or a model or on this side of the camera, but there's an aspect of storytelling that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of bravery to whether you're going to be an actor or even just to tell your story. So I want to tell the kids to persevere and kolki peshnio, which means that you don't have no fear and move forward and write your stories down, because we don't get a lot of chances over and over. So you get an opportunity, you get a chance to tell your story, do it, you know, with no fear. And if you want to know something, go to the source. You want to know, you know, whether it's your own stories, your own creation stories, or you're trying to marry two different tribes or whatnot, but go to the source and without fear, you know, be a leader. Make those hard choices that, you know, not everyone wants to follow down some of these harder paths. And I left the reservation and faced challenges of my own in going to a public school and having to fight and experience racism and those kind of things. And if it weren't for perseverance and finding those healthy ways to cope with anxiety and stress and pain, grief, those kind of things. And knowing who you are will help to define your path and to the future. So being Lakota, I lean on that. I lean on my religious practices, my spirituality, and it keeps me grounded. You know, for one of my biggest auditions, I sang, and wow. It wasn't any of the scripts that they asked for, and I just I sang and I spoke my language, and I received the role, and that in itself helps keep me grounded, helps keep me Michael.
Wow, Michael, I wanted to say, before I let you go, this is Michael Spears, the Year of the Dog, and you can see him on a couple episodes of Reservation Dogs and has a plethora of work. I just want to say Pini Gigi for being on, and also, you know, I always wanted to be a key grip, just to throw that out there. Hey, so Michael, thank you so much for being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't be chicken. Hunt and peck your way over to wiscountry.com/chicken to vote on the new name for the WIRI logo. We've narrowed it down to three choices, and we need you to vote for your favorite. It's easy. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken, enter your name and email address, and put the names in order, starting with the one you like best. Voting closes October 26th. Then tune in to the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8 on Halloween to find out the winner. Help us name that chicken and keep listening to Wiscountry on 105.5 WIRI.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bonjour, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
One of our longtime sponsors, and they do such great work all over Turtle Island, especially now that COVID is under somewhat control. I'm going to be careful what I say because, you know, there's still a variant out there, but they are traveling more and doing their thing all over Turtle Island and giving out the good knowledge that they help with. So, Ogamont, I'm just throw this out here. I don't know if anyone wants to call. So we feel like the Maytag washroom repairman. I don't know if you knew about that, if you're old enough to remember that, but it was a commercial where, you know, the wash machines were made so well that the repairman never got a call.
Oh, so that sounds like a good commercial.
That's the reference. We're doing so good at the show, we never get a call. But if you want to call and say, who or hey, 952. Oh, the cat's not using the phone, but she's calling. 952-946-6205. Just give us a call and say hi out there. Do you have any leftover news or anything you want to repeat that we were just talking about?
I actually have something else, you know, since we're talking about, you know, movies and actors and all that kind of thing. There is a new series coming out on ABC that I just found out about. It's called Alaska Daily.
Yeah.
It's got Hilary Swank in it, and it's going to be covering missing and murdered Indigenous women in Alaska. So maybe you heard about that already, but that was news to me today, and I am pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I thought I saw a glimpse, and I can't remember her name, but she was in Smoke Signals, and she played Pocahontas, the Disney voice of Pocahontas. Irene, who played I saw a glimpse of her, and she was in it too.
Oh, okay. Not yeah. Sure. I'm just cruising through. I'm looking for it on like IMDb and that kind of thing right now. I just happened to catch the headline as I was cruising through stuff today. So I haven't had a lot of time to look through it, but I'm glad to see the topic. So it's reading Grace Dove. Is that who maybe you're thinking
no,
of?
No, but let me just say too, why you brought that up. I hope, you know, and as Native Americans, we always hope if we're being represented well, or sometimes these actors in these plays or movies, we end up with a savior role. And, you know, like I was joking earlier about Dancing with the Wolves, which to me is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. It's won all the Academy Awards. It was 3 hours movie, but a lot of my relatives called it Dancing with Kevin Costner, and the reason why is the savior role. You know, he was saving the Native Americans that had been on this continent for tens of thousands of years. So hopefully this two-time Academy Award winner will do it in a good way, Hilary Swank.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I was a big fan of her and her role. I think it was called Iron-Jawed Angels. It's back from 2004, and I believe she was the lead character there. And it was about the lives of Alice Paul and Lucy Burns, who were really instrumental in getting women the right to vote in the United States.
Oh, wow.
And she played, I can't remember if she played Alice or Lucy, but she played she went on hunger strike after she was imprisoned for speaking out about women being able to vote. And that was a pretty intense role. So I'm a bit of a Hilary Swank fan after seeing that one. I'm going to have to probably maybe go back and rewatch that one, but you're right. I mean, I was excited about this show and excited about this topic, this Alaska Daily, but you know, I don't see a lot of Indigenous faces, Indigenous names coming up on this. you know, about the show, and it's pretty easy to step into that, you know, that trope of being the savior or the person who comes and, you know,
good
makes
word,
a savior, but
good word. Trope.
Yeah. Trope. Yeah. Well, and they exist all over the place. And like, me and my husband actually talk about this quite a bit. You know, he's a big movie buff. He loves to watch movies. He loves to watch films, television, YouTube, all of that just fascinates him. And we both have run into, just in really unexpected places, you know, instances of inappropriation or of appropriation in movies. Like he likes horror films, so we went to a horror movie a while back, and in the middle of the film a guy gives the main character ayahuasca, which is a drug used by Native American people in a very sacred way. But a lot of people will go and use ayahuasca or peyote to kind of have, you know, those trips, or to open their mind, or, you know, treat it the same way like LSD, that kind of thing. So this non-Native character gives this other non-Native character ayahuasca in the middle of the movie, and it's a horror film, and it's supposed to help him release the spirit of the person that's haunting him, because he's supposed to be able to use it to get into another realm. And it was like, what? Like, that's not what that is. Like, and that's sacred to people. Like, you can't just throw that in the middle of a movie. And I mean, it was just so bizarre for us. We kind of left going, did they really do that? And it happens all the time, right, Robert?
Oh my goodness, yes. I can't think of a example off the top of my head, but I mean, you know, I grew up, I'm 61, and I grew up with a lot of, well, one of the most racist shows I ever watched was F Troop. And I don't know if you've ever seen that TV show, but that was on, for a good 5 years in the 60s. And, if you know, I probably am speaking to people that have never seen it before, but that is one of the most racist shows now, watching it now. Native Americans are dumb, and they're outside this fort called I can't remember what the name of the fort is, but they were first of all, they weren't Native. None of them were Native American. that's for sure. And so they were the bumbling kind of con artists, snake oil. It's just hard to watch now with all this knowledge of appropriation and what it does to our people. And we talk a lot about the residential schools, but I think you know, white people have gone through residential schools through the media, whether it's movies and
they've been indoctrinated into those beliefs for sure. You know, I think probably a good example of like a racist film for like my generation is probably Team America. That one was pretty awful. And I remember it came out in 2004, and I was in high school at the time. And I remember not really wanting to stomach any of it. My friends all thought it was really cool and it was really funny. And I didn't really like it at all. And it wasn't until I was older that I'm like, oh, I didn't like it because it was just blatantly racist. Like, and it's one of those things that people still, you know, they still quote, they still talk about. And when we have those kind of movies that just permeate into our culture, and they're, you know, displaying these really negative stereotypes, they're overtly or blatantly racist. I mean, those things do have an effect on how people operate and how they treat those people when they meet them in real life.
Well, Lou Diamond Phillips has played a lot of Native Americans over his career, and he's Asian. Johnny Depp played Tonto, which was a groundbreaking part that I can't remember his name right now, but Silver Heels, or what was his name? But he played Tonto in the original Lone Ranger, and to see Johnny Depp do it, and it's just like an irritant. It's almost like, you know, you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about the Atlanta Braves, and you start thinking about, you know, the Blackhawks, and people want to say, oh, well, you know, we're honoring you.
Mm-hmm. Somebody just posted, and I seen it come through social media. It says, welcome to WTF season for Native people. It goes Halloween, Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, and then Thanksgiving. And we have all three of those that happen in the span of 2 months. And those are the three big holidays every year where we're all, as Native people, collectively going, we've talked about this, you know?
Well, you know, Ogama, thanks again. And it was great having Michael Spears on. We're going to have him on again. He was really happy. He listens to the show, too. So that was really cool to hear. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Local.